As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This episode is brought to you by Unstoppable. Discover the inspiring true story about Anthony Robles, who defied every expectation to become a national wrestling champion in Unstoppable, a new original movie from Amazon MGM Studios and director William Goldenberg, evoking the excitement and camaraderie of classic sports dramas and thrilling wrestling matches. Unstoppable features an all-star ensemble cast, including Jarrell Jerome, Jennifer Lopez, Don Cheadle, Michael Pena, and Bobby Cannavale. Unstoppable is streaming exclusively on Prime Video January 16th.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
You rolling? Here we go, boys. Here we go.
Waltzing in untouched to the end zone. And another footlock from Joe Milton.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Why wasn't Jacoby Brissett playing into the fourth quarter? He would have guaranteed a loss.
The Patriots go from 1-4 in the draft.
Gross.
Earlier on the show, host of the Greenlight Podcast, Chris Long. Comedian Gabriel Iglesias. Still to come. Your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air right here on the Infinity Sports Network. If you're listening to us terrestrial coast to coast, we're appreciative of that. Sirius XM channel 158, we are appreciative of that. Our podcast, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, is also the way for you to chat with us right here. But our podcast, all 3 hours of this show, is available through that form. Overreaction Monday is available through the Rich Eisen Podcast Network. Same thing with What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Their guest later on today when they record it is going to be Stephen A. Smith. I think you have heard of him. He's got lots to say whenever he says something. He will be on that pod. No Contest Wrestling with TJ Jefferson and O'Shea Jackson Jr. No doubt will be all about what they witnessed on Monday night together. And Intuit Dome Raw coming to Los Angeles on Netflix, which I hopefully you saw through the Roku portal right here, because you could see everything that's worthwhile seeing through Roku. We greatly appreciate you checking us out. If you're seeing us, our light situation's a little wonky today, so appreciate everybody sticking with us. Gabriel Iglesias was here in hour two. That was a lot of fun. Again, if you missed it, we re-air on the Roku Sports Channel, on the Rich Eisen Show Fast Channel as well. And there is our podcast, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. Basically, we're unavoidable. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman, in hour number three.
What's up, man?
Overreaction Monday and a Tuesday. We just finished. Jay Felly, good to see you in
What's
your
up,
spot.
Rich?
And TJ Jefferson in his spot as well. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Many things occur in the NFL, certainly in my lifetime, that makes you say, what the hell's that team doing? trust me, as a man born a Jet fan, and 50-some-odd years of following the team, I'm well-versed in what the hell are they doing. The Tennessee Titans have entered that realm, to be very honest with you. I like Brian Callahan, their head coach. I think he is of good stuff. The fact that he's got his dad, Bill, part of the staff and that offensive line and the run game, I mean, that's what you need. That's what you want. And they have some players there. They don't have a quarterback situated significantly yet. We'll see if they stick with Will Levis or not, but they earned in many ways that first overall selection this year. But they never really struck me as quitting. And again, Brian Callahan is hired after they fire Mike Vrabel, who gets fired after they hired a new general manager in Rand Carthon, who was hired after they fired the general manager in the middle of the season, John Robinson, after A.J. Brown torched the team as a member of the Eagles. And we all know they let A.J. Brown out the door by trading him to the Eagles on a draft day in Las Vegas after they didn't want to pay him. After we had Mike Vrabel on the show saying, when I asked him, is this really possible that A.J. Brown could be traded? He basically said, not as long as I'm a head coach here. And again, they trade him anyway. Mike Vrabel doesn't appear to be happy about it, but he's still the head coach there. The general manager who does trade him gets fired. Then Mike Vrabel sticks around after the new general manager is hired and Rand Carthon. Then Vrabel gets fired, and today Rand Carthon got fired. And right. If you see, I kind of went from the present day backwards, and then from that day to the present day, you know, rewind and then fast forward to just sort of make the point that doesn't it appear to be a little bit off kilter that they normally, when you make the change, you change out the general manager and the coach, or just the coach, not the general manager. Not the general manager, then the coach, then the general manager that changed out the coach. But they're keeping the coach that the general manager they just let go helped be part of hiring, and now they're going to bring in a new GM and say, you get to choose the first overall pick in the draft for the coach that we're keeping. Huh? Mm-hmm. It kind of makes no sense. What if they had just paid A.J. Brown? I don't know, because Tannehill got older fast. He wasn't the guy. And if you don't get the quarterback right, it doesn't matter who the GM is or the coaches, you're going to get fired. But at the time, they had a team, and they don't pay A.J. Brown. He goes to Philadelphia, and he's basically like their wide receiver version of Saquon. But the guy who traded Saquon, or let Saquon walk, stays. The Giants keep them. The coach and the general manager together there. Because they don't want to churn through it. And now the Titans have churned through two general managers and a coach in a span of 2+ years. But they're going to keep this coach and attach him to the hip of, we assume, Cam Ward. Is that who it's going to be? Shedeur Sanders? All I know is Deion Sanders reacted. He just said, wow, with the googly eyes. And you could say, well, why is Deion chiming in? Because he's the dad of the guy who the Titans might be drafting. And if he's sitting there thinking they don't know what the hell they're doing, that might add a wrinkle to this whole thing.
Guess who ain't going to Nashville?
I don't know, man. So, I don't know what the Titans are doing. They choose the right quarterback?
Then who cares?
First overall? Then everything I just said is a footnote.
Yep.
That's the way it works in the NFL. Everything I just said is a complete footnote. Mm-hmm. And then you know what we'll say? Boy, the Titans know what they're doing. They got the right coach. They got the right quarterback. Look at them now. But right now, it's just like you let the general manager trade away the wide receiver, and then you consider that a fireable offense when that wide receiver torches everybody, including you. The head coach didn't want the wide receiver gone, but now the head coach is gone after you hired the new general manager. And that coach is now maybe the hottest coaching candidate out there in Mike Vrabel. And the GM that made these moves, you fire him, and now the new head coach stays. Okay. That's unorthodox, shall we say. And then there's the Jets. Okay. Let me just say this. When Rex Ryan arrived in New York, it was perfect. It was perfect timing, okay? You normally go against, you know, what you had, right? You had Herman Edwards. It worked out there. And then the Jets just fall flat again. And they needed a guy, and it was a perfect time to have a cult of personality guy come in and say, we're going to get things right defensively. We're going to go gun for Tom Brady, and I'm not here to kiss Bill Belichick's rings. In 2009, boy, was that perfect timing for Rex Ryan. Certainly because he had not been a head coach anywhere, and we assumed he's just going to come from Baltimore and bring that style of play, and that pugnacious attitude fits the Northeast in a way. If you win, it works. And it worked. It worked. The ground and pound. They draft Mark Sanchez. And they draft Mark Sanchez, and they make back-to-back AFC championship games, and that's some rarefied air for the Jets. But you know what this isn't now? 2009, 2010, 2011. Going back to the future. Okay. I don't know if they're speaking to Rex out of, you know, giving him a shot. Thank you for the memory. Thank you for what you did back then. Mike Tannenbaum, as you know, the general manager at the time, is right. Part of that 33rd team group that is putting together people in front of Woody Johnson to interview. And maybe Mike is doing Rex a solid. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to run it back. Maybe we should get Mike T on here and ask, you know, is he pulling a Dick Cheney? Running the search only to say, hey, I've got a candidate for you at the very end. The best candidate is me. Is that what's happening right now?
Hey, I have a company.
I've got somebody for you. It's me. And how about we run back me and Rex? Because last time you did that. And all I will just say is, you know, again, these are I know Mike more personally than Rex. I don't really know him very well. His brother Rob did come a couple times on game day morning. We had to fashion him with socks and a tie.
I remember you said that. Yeah.
Okay. When Rob showed up.
Personally, I'm a big fan of running it back. Go ahead, do it.
I know you are. And I know everyone else is, because my message would be, turn the page. Please turn the page. Turn the page. Find someone new. You want experience because you got burned. You think you got burned that Robert Saleh didn't know what he was doing. Guess what? The defense fell apart after you fired him in week six. Fell apart. You went in that direction. That didn't work for you. Adam Gase didn't work for you. You know, so you're loath to, you want to get someone with experience. Turn the page, find somebody with experience that is different from the way you have done it. Rex saying on ESPN radio locally in New York that if he's there and Aaron Rodgers is there, you know, he's going to get rid of that country club mentality. Because he brought up the summer. You remember when Rodgers wasn't at the mandatory mini camp and Saleh said it was unexcused,
right.
And they fined him $100,000, and then everybody turned the page from that. When they were 2-1, everybody thought, you know, Rodgers didn't like Saleh because he shoved him away after scoring against the Patriots.
Right.
And it's because Saleh was on Rodgers' case for not having a 2-score lead for the defense yet. Rodgers got the 2-score lead and said, there's your 2-score lead. And he shoved Saleh away in a playful manner. See, this is going to be helpful. Here's what I'm not here to kiss Aaron Rodgers' ring. Is that the phrase now? So if the Jets do decide to stick with Rodgers, they're going to hire a guy who's basically said, I'll show this 41-year-old whippersnapper a thing or two. Really? Is that what we're doing?
Well, Rich, yes. 3 minutes ago, at NY Jets just tweeted out,
yeah,
we have completed our interview with Rex Ryan.
Right, and I'm sure, you know, that's an old foot forward.
Hey, now.
Do they really think, like, let's go back to the future? You want to run it back? You really think that's just going to turn things around? Really? Maybe Rex has got a different approach? I don't know, because he went on with brass knuckles on local radio saying he's going to show Aaron Rodgers a thing or two. Okay.
Cool.
Right. How did Sanchez pan out under his care?
Butt fumble. That's what happened.
He ran into the taint of his lineman on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah.
And getting boat raced to the guy whose rings he refused to kiss anymore. Come on. It was a great run when Rex was there, and he deserves all the kudos for that. Those were great moments. Those were some of the finest moments of my tenure at NFL Network when the Jets were going that far. I know what that meant to me personally, but professionally, it was always fascinating. But really, is that what the Jets want to do? Ah. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. We'll take your phone calls. And also, when we return, Mike Tomlin has spoken about not having won a playoff game in quite some time. And then I do want to hit that subject matter that we started the show with, a playoff team that we're not talking about enough. Here's a riddle for you. What do yoga mats, a toothbrush, and a Hyundai have in common? I'll give you a moment. Time's up. If you guess they're all fun, well-designed, and super useful, you guessed wrong. The answer is you can order all those things on Amazon. And the best part, you don't even have to break down a car-sized Amazon box after, because you'll pick up your Hyundai at the dealer. Hyundai, now available on Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability. Pick up through a participating Hyundai dealer in select markets. Back on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits, so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases. And you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Welcome to the jungle, clones. It's the Jim Rome Show podcast.
The greatest and loyal fan base ever. You, the clones. It all starts with the jungle. We're in it to win it, and I'm in it to go as hard as I possibly can every day to make sure that you clones get the best possible product every single day. Day one, all in, let's freaking go.
The Jim Rome Show. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
What are you talking about over there?
Yesterday, the Bears, put in a request to Dallas to interview Mike McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. The Bears did?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's been 24 hours, and Dallas has not responded to the Bears' request.
Let them eat static. That's one of my favorite lines from The Wrath of Khan. Let them eat static.
Well, in Dallas's defense, Jerry's probably reading scripts right now.
That's true.
Going over TV offers and stuff like
that. I want
that.
To talk about that later.
Jerry should win an Emmy. Honestly. I told you. He was amazing.
Jerry should win the EGOT for what he did on Landman.
He was tremendous.
The Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, and the Tony, and an MTV award on top of it.
It's marvelous.
We'll get to that in a second. You're cannibalizing something I've got planned.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Well, we thought you were shuffling through papers. We were just
because I'm looking for something that I had planned to be doing for the whole show, and I can't keep track with a million things around here.
That's why we had to cannibalize
shuffling
something.
On everything. Jeez, where does it go? Where does the time go?
I mean, I can fill up the time by talking about something else.
Question. What do you want to talk about?
I'm just saying we can fill in. What's up, Jay Felly? How you doing today? Good to see you in the dark.
Found it.
Oh, here we go.
We were finally talking.
Because this was going nowhere.
That's all right. Going nowhere, just like the Bears' request for Mike McCarthy.
Oh, hey now.
Hey.
You know what the Cowboys are not going to do is let Mike McCarthy talk to someone else when they have the contractual window for a week. This is their leverage.
They're clearly not talking to him. Let him talk to somebody else.
How do you know they're not talking to him?
Well,
do you honestly think they're talking to Mike McCarthy right now? Jerry does everything a day after the deadline.
I mean, he's got a point.
I'm aware of that, but they have a week to do it. So why would they say, sure, you go talk to whoever you want when we have you for a week? And if the Bears want him, well, just wait 7 days. Then they'll get him. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting here at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Jeff in Detroit's here, one of our favorites and our very original callers. How are you there, Jeffrey?
To quote the Christopher Williams song from the 90s, don't wake me, I'm dreaming.
Don't wake me.
If this is a dream, don't let me sleep. TJ know what I'm talking about.
I'm dreaming.
And listen, I'm going to tell you like this. Our city has given Sheila Ford Hemp a nickname. They're calling her Mama Ford because this is all her baby. For her to turn around this organization like she has and entrust it with the men that have taken over is spectacular. The downtown was electrifying. I'm in a position that I've never been in before. I just talked to a guy who's been a Lions fan for his whole life. He's like 76 years old. Mm. He said, man, this is the greatest feeling that I've ever had through the entire organization. It's permeating here in the city. I got a question for you, though,
Yep.
Now that the season's over with, what team at the beginning of the year that you thought should be in the playoffs that didn't make it? What was the most disappointing team to you in the NFL?
Oh, my God. The most disappointing team in the NFL this year. I was legitimately, Jeff, on the break thinking about what top five lists can I do in between the end of the regular season and Super Wild Card Weekend. What can I do? And I thought to myself, top five most disappointing teams, and you can't whittle it down to five. There's so many. Are the Cowboys the most disappointing? The Browns the most disappointing? The Jets the most disappointing? You can't whittle it down. The Raiders were highly disappointing. Who else? You could say the Bengals at one point being 4-8, down to 9, even though they got to 9-8, you could say from 4-8 to 9-8, you know, gets them off that list. But I thought they would win the division. The Dolphins, you know, were highly disappointing.
I can't go Dallas. Their quarterback got hurt. I think it's San Francisco.
San Francisco had all sorts of people hurt, just not their quarterback.
Not the quarterback, though. If the quarterback doesn't get hurt,
Dallas was highly disappointing before Dak got hurt.
We're not rewriting this history that we spent all offseason cracking on the Cowboys, that we didn't make any moves, that we didn't get any players, that we were all in,
and we
made fun of all in, and now we can't say we expected them to do anything. We didn't expect them to do anything. That's, we didn't do anything in the offseason.
Beyond untrue.
What do you mean?
Beyond untrue. We suspected that the all-in wasn't going to work out for him, TJ, but
we had a running gag that we put the number of players that they signed, which was no one all offseason. They didn't do anything to make the team better.
But they ran it back with a team that won 12 games and won the division the year before. They just got one and done. And I thought the fact that they didn't supplement it was going to actually come home to roost. Many others thought the same thing, too. But you can't sit here and say their season wasn't disappointing, man. I mean,
it was.
I understand.
It was, but they get a bye because Dak got injured. I mean, the Bears, that's pretty disappointing.
That's bad, too. But, I mean, don't forget, when Dak got hurt.
We were bad when he got hurt.
When Dak got hurt in Atlanta, they were already 3-4. They were not just 3-4. They were a hard 3-4. Don't forget, one of the worst teams of the year that turned out to be one of the worst teams of the year. The New Orleans Saints boat raced them in week two. Went in there and just punked it. The game was over by halftime. So look at what you started, Jeff. It's like you turned this into your barbershop.
Jets, obviously.
Nah, Jeff, come on.
Hey, listen, I swear to God, it was a question in the barbershop. I said, I know Rich will get in with this one, for real.
Thanks for the call, Jeff.
Yeah, Jets at the top of that list, too.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
No question about that.
Miami, kind of pretty disappointing.
The Niners it was obviously disappointing, but for, you know, again, I know their quarterback didn't get hurt, but Christian McCaffrey, right before the season begins, both Achilles, keep him out for half the season.
Well, that's 49. The 49ers have gotten
away. Has his knee blown out.
They've gotten away with manipulating the injury report and being not faithful on that thing. So we should have known Christian McCaffrey wasn't playing for a while.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. The play of the week brought to you by our friends at Sleep Number. We were going on and on about it. We thought maybe Mike Evans' walk-off breaking the record of Jerry Rice or tying the record of Jerry Rice, setting the record for most consecutive 1,000-yard seasons to start a career, 11 of them in a row, would be the play of the week. But we discussed it so significantly yesterday. And in honor of Jeff in Detroit, let's return to the Lions. Here is your play of the week, brought to you by Sleep Number. Jahmyr Gibbs going for the four spot.
Garrett leans in. There's the snap. Gives it to Jahmyr. Over the left side. Up the hash. Still fighting at the one. Did he get in?
Yes, he did.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Jahmyr with a boost from his offensive line. And the Lions are three scores up.
97.1, the ticket, Lions Radio Network with the call right there. He scored so many times, the announcer's voice broke. Four touchdowns for Jahmyr Gibbs to give him an even 20 from scrimmage on the season. And the last Lions player to do that 20 in a season was never. he's three better than Jamal Williams' 17 of 2022 and Barry Sanders' 17 in 1991. And 91 is when Barry became the first Lions running back with four or more scrimmage touchdowns in a single game. The 20 touchdowns leads the league in scrimmage touchdowns. Again, the last Lions player to lead the NFL in scrimmage touchdowns was Barry Sanders in 1991. And Billy Sims had 16 in 1980. I mean, these are some serious names when you're talking about Lions running backs. The four touchdowns that Gibbs scored tied the most by a player in a game all time who scored all of his team's touchdowns in that game.
Oh, interesting.
Dwayne Thomas did it in week 14 of 1971. The last player to do it was Sean Alexander in week three of his MVP season of 2005.
I remember that game well.
Man, he was so good that year.
Jahmyr Gibbs, man. Knuckles is out, and Sonic provides the knuckles too on that final one. And then the Sonic, that fourth down grab when he had Andrew Van Ginkle suddenly on him on single coverage. I mean, that's just not fair. He just turned right inside, and that was an easy touchdown on fourth down for Jared Goff. This kid is something else, and his four-touchdown night in the final regular season game of the year to give the Lions the division, the conference, and the one seed all in one fell swoop is our play of the week, brought to you by Sleep Number. Sleep better together. It's the lowest price of the season on the top-selling Sleep Number i8 smart bed. Limited time exclusively at a Sleep Number store. Austin in Florida, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Austin?
Hey, Rich, how's it going, man?
What's going on?
Not a lot, man. I am a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Hey.
Tennessee Titans fan. Lived in downtown Nashville the year they went to the Super Bowl with Steve McNair, all that good stuff. And I would just like to talk a little Titans. I feel like we're the – I just feel like ever since the A.J. Brown – debacle, we've just gone further and further into the basement, and then this backwards firing of Rand Carthon. I just don't get it.
Neither do I.
I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense. You know, you got mad at Jay. Amy Adams gets mad at Jay Rob for the John Robinson. I'm a fan. I'm used to the shorthand. But John Robinson got fired because of how he didn't want to pay players, specifically AJ Brown. He missed three straight first round draft picks in Caleb Farley and Isaiah Wilson. And there was one more. It's escaped me now. But anyways, Jay Rob was falling off. They hire Randy Carthon. They turn around and fire Mike Vrabel. My dogs are barking. Give me 2 seconds. They turn around and fire Mike Vrabel, and then Rand Carthon does a good job. He gets first of all, he gets all the people that the fans want, right? We get L'Jarius Sneed, Cheeto. We pick up Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard. We make some decent offseason moves. They hired Brian Callahan, who was the main guy that the fans wanted. He took on team-friendly contracts, Tyler Boyd for $9 million over 2 years. Like there's a lot there, and you know he stayed. And then for the first time that I can remember in a while, we have $50 to $70 million to spend in free agency in back-to-back year.
Now Brian somebody else Callahan, is going to do it. Now someone else is going to do it, Austin. You know, now someone else is going to do it. And it leads me to believe, like, was there something going on behind the scenes that Rand Carthon wanted done coaching staff-wise or something, and Callahan wanted it a different way, and the owner came in and said, we're going to go with the way the coach does it, and Carthon might be like, I don't know. I'm now completely speculating as to why the general manager eats it after just 2 years. And
especially look, he hit on Skoronski's a starter. J.C. Latham is a starter. Will Levis did start, and he had great value in the second round.
That's the Austin. That's the issue here, man. That's the issue. Is that I don't know if this is it or not. And I appreciate the call, Austin in Florida here, who's answering. This is an unanswerable question yet, but the only thing that we do know is we have an answer to who let the dogs out. It's Austin in Florida. Normally, that's a rhetorical question as to who let the dogs out, but I think we now have an answer. But honestly, when something like this happens, you have to sit here and think, is it a quarterback situation? Like, you know, one guy wants him, the other guy doesn't, and the GM might have say on the roster, and then the owner says, we're going to do it the way the coach wants it, and then suddenly it's gone. I don't know. You never know. These buildings in the NFL, or facilities, pardon me, in the NFL are 100% vaults that information will eventually come out from, but they can be viper's nests if the chemistry's off and the losing and the racks up and the winning, the deodorant of winning is non-existent. And but the teams that churn through it usually are the teams that are always drafting top 10, top 5, which is part of the reason why the Giants are like, we're not churning through it, even though they keep drafting top 10. And Giants fans are like, let's switch it up again. And the owners are like, not yet. We're close, but not yet. Then you got the Steelers, who, as we all know, are as consistent as ever. And they're back in the playoffs. And when they were 10-3, it was like, this could be different. I even came on the air and I'm like, this team can win the Super Bowl playing like this. And then they lose the last four. And, you know, that Christmas schedule where four teams had to play three games in 11 days, they had to do a Sunday, Saturday, Wednesday. But only one team had to play the Eagles on a Sunday, the Ravens on a Saturday, and the Chiefs on a Wednesday. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's when George Pickens went out, and that's when the offense began to fall apart in a way that we did not see when Russell Wilson took it over from a 4-2 team and turned it into a 10-3 team. Now they're a 10-7 team because with Pickens back and them having the Bengals in their house, having the mini bye in their back pocket from having played on a Wednesday. And here they are playing on a Saturday night, short week for Cincinnati, but doesn't matter for Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh loses that one. It's now 5 alarm fire time. Only the third team in the history of the NFL to go into the playoffs on a 4-game losing streak. And it's all coming back. It's a 10-7 good for a lot of teams. Pittsburgh fans are like, that's the record. We keep seeing it. That was like the old, 8-8 for Jeff Fisher? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. 7-9
for Jeff Fisher. Right,
eight,
right, right.
7-9.
Every year. We're in it, but then we make it, and then we get bounced.
Yep.
It's a new, but so it's 10-7, where everyone talks about in the media, hey, Tomlin won another, had another winning season again. And they're like, yeah, so what?
Yeah.
Then when we get one and done, we haven't won playoff games in quite some time. Now they're taking on the Ravens. And it's the first time, by the way, that the Ravens and Steelers are facing each other in the playoffs in Baltimore. Mm. Every single one of the four instances prior took place in Pittsburgh, where the Steelers were 3-1 against the Ravens. The only time the Ravens won any of these games was the 2014 wild card round when they won 30-17 in Pittsburgh. And it doesn't bode well for the Steelers losing four in a row. And how about this? Road teams have lost each of their last seven playoff games against opponents from their own division. Whew. Dating back to 2021, and the average score is home team 34, losing road team 17.
Yeah.
The last team to win a road game against the division opponent in the playoffs was when Tom Brady went into the Superdome in the COVID year and beat Drew Brees 30-20. They went on to win the Super Bowl. This is what Coach Tomlin had to say when he was asked about his recent playoff drought.
It's been a few years since you guys have won a playoff game. What gives you confidence that this year is going to be different?
Because I work with this group every day. I'm excited about it. We're very familiar with this team. We know how to play this group. And so that's where our focus is as we get prepared for this one. What you mentioned is my story. It's not this collective story. Many of these guys involved do not tote those bags. I happily tote those bags. But it's not something that I'm going to project on the collective.
I'm sure he's saying he happily totes those bags will set off some Steeler fans. When he says that, he means he'll take the happily take the responsibility. I don't think he's happy about having lost all those playoff games in a row. You know, and this is the offense in the last 4 weeks is exactly the offense I was concerned about with Russell Wilson taking over this team. And then we didn't see it. And Russ was cooking like the old Russ.
They were hitting big plays.
They were hitting big plays, but they were also running it. They were moving it. It wasn't just always the big play, but the chunk play was helpful. And that's when people are pointing out, like, that's what, you know, Russ does better than Justin Fields. And, you know, but Tomlin did say Justin Fields is going to, he's going to use him, it looks like. That's what you were saying.
Yeah,
you think
they
you
need
should
to
start him in the Overreaction Monday pod. I don't know if that was an Overreaction Monday subject matter, but. I believe we have that soundbite, right? Do we have that soundbite of him talking? Here, go ahead and hit it. Here's Mike Tomlin on Justin Fields.
I'm certainly open to utilizing Justin. He has an awesome skill set. We've done some of that in the past. We've done less of it in recent weeks. He experienced an injury or so a couple of weeks back that slowed some of that. But certainly in an effort to win this game, I am open to any combination or combinations of the division of labor in an effort to do so. And so I'm certainly open to that as we develop plans this week.
And I think that's wise. Mm-hmm. Screw that. If you have two quarterbacks, you got none.
No, they need a Fields package. They need to do something different than they've done in the last month.
No question. I agree.
To have a chance to win this game.
I agree with it.
Yeah.
Different look, different situation. Because there has been some doldrums.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like Russ being the vet, that play with 36 seconds left where he didn't get rid of the ball.
Yeah, that one was a head scratcher, man.
Yeah,
like he just took a hit right in the middle of the field.
He could have thrown the ball out of bounds. He could have done. That's a That's a rookie move. That's not something a Super Bowl winning vet.
That's correct. You don't take a hit between the hash and the sideline like that, right in the middle of it.
Right. Not with that much time left.
I'm with you.
That was mind-boggling, man.
I mean, Russ is 9-7 in his playoff career, but he's lost four of his last five playoff games, and he's 3-6 ever since the Malcolm Butler interception.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, it's not looking good. I mean, that's the biggest spread of the weekend.
Is it really?
9.5.
That's a large amount for a third game.
Just watch the team. Watch the teams play.
I did just say the average margin of victory over the last seven playoff games featuring division opponents, the final score is 34 for the home team and 17.6 for the road team on average. So that's almost just a little bit less than double the spread, right?
Well, Lou, what's more likely here? I mean, the Broncos Bills is 8.5. Like, which one do you think would be closer game?
Come on.
You think Buffalo's going to blow out Denver?
I think this is the toughest assignment of the weekend.
No, it's way tougher for Pittsburgh, man.
But they've been there. They were just there. They know this team inside and out.
They can't score more than like 15 points.
I get it. I hear you. The first time they played each other, they lit them up.
That's a different team.
I get it. I'm sure Tomlin is letting everyone know in the room, you're still the same team. Let us see if they can put it together. It's not like Detroit where some of the guys are just gone on injured reserve. They're there. They just haven't played well. That's why, when I hear Mooch on game day morning sometimes, it's just like, we're like, how can it get fixed? And a coach will always say, we don't have to fix it. Just play better, execute better. And it gets frustrating. It gets frustrating for a fan to hear that, but it is just that simple. A rookie quarterback going into Western New York? That's not a cakewalk, pal. Cortland Sutton hasn't done it. Vele hasn't done it. It's going to be a first time for the guy who's done it is their coach, which is a big help.
Sometimes it's a big help, being a rookie and not having been there is an advantage. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. Let's take a break right here. We'll be back shortly on the Roku Sports Channel. But for the moment, right here on the Infinity Sports Network, time for a sports update with Rich Ackerman. Rich.
Bravo TV star Lala Kent holds nothing back on the Give Them Lala podcast.
No, I have a very short fuse.
Get to know the TV personality.
I don't need to watch the show because I get the real life version.
From relationships and motherhood.
Let me tell you something about breastfeeding.
To business and beyond.
You are scared of failure, so it prevents you
from trying.
This is where we implement a big set of ovaries. And then we obsess.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Your process in coming up with these videos right upon the Cowboys' misery, just piling on.
There's no real process. I mean, it hits me naturally. It's very impromptu, extemporaneous, right off the cuff.
Yes.
I sincerely mean from the bottom of my heart, I don't care whether you're young or old, black, white, Hispanic, doesn't matter to me. I think that Dallas Cowboys fans are the worst, most disgusting, most nauseating fan base in American history. Nobody disgusts me more than a Cowboys fan because they never, ever, ever take a moment to smell their own stench. This is a team that hasn't won a Super Bowl since 1995, and they walk around like they're the reigning defending Super Bowl champions every single year.
I've got a Dallas Cowboy fan here, Rich Eisen Show social media extraordinaire Grand Maester TJ Jefferson, who...
My condolences to him.
He is reasonable. I do want to say that. I mean, you're right, but you did say 5 years ago, though, you were thoroughly just like every other Cowboy fan that Stephen A. has
received. I probably resembled the remarks that he made.
Okay.
But I mean, nobody feels that way anymore, man. And I'm on Cowboys Twitter a lot. I see a bunch of angry and annoyed Cowboy fans. I don't see Cowboys fans like walking around like thinking we're the Chiefs or something. Like,
yeah. What do you think, Steve?
Oh, my Lord. I don't know you. I don't know you. And I don't mean to cast any aspersions on you as a human being. I'm sure you're very nice. a highly intelligent dude, but for this particular subject, you are a damn liar. There's no way. There is no way that you can say with a straight face that you don't run into Cowboy fans thinking like this. Cowboy fans are the most arrogant, disgusting, nauseating fan base you could possibly find. You never take a second to smell your own stuff. And I'm just looking at here. You know, one of the great, great moments that I had.
Yes.
All right. Remember 2010 when you ended up going 6-10? But then those weren't my favorite years with the Cowboys. Because I actually liked the Cowboys when the playmaking and Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman were there and stuff like that. And Primetime came over to San Francisco and all of this other stuff. But here was my favorite moment. 2011, 2012, 2013. Not only did the Dallas Cowboys finish 8-8 each season, they had the last game of the regular season with the division crown on the line and lost all 3 years to each of the teams in the division. It doesn't get much sweeter than that. And even then, y'all still walk around. We'll be back next year. You'll see.
The best. Stephen A. Smith, a guest of What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Keep an eye out for it on our YouTube channel later on today and an ear out for it wherever you get your podcast later on today. Stephen A. Smith, the one and only. Getting set for Super Wild Card Weekend with What the Football. We'll be playing some of that good stuff back tomorrow. Dan Orlovsky's on the show tomorrow.
Nice.
Who else is on the show tomorrow? Just trying to keep Bruce Feldman's on the program tomorrow, talking college football. And who else is on the show tomorrow? Oh, Ryan Leaf. That's right. Ryan Leaf will be on our program tomorrow as well. It'll be a fun one. On Wednesday. We still have a few minutes left right here on the Rich Eisen Show, right here on the Roku Sports Channel here on a very busy Tuesday. Life insurance, you know you need it. You maybe think you can't afford it, or it's too complicated, or you don't want to deal with medical exams. Well, that's all changed with Ethos. With Ethos, you just go online, answer a few simple health questions, and in as little as 10 minutes, you could get up to $2 million in term life coverage with plans starting at around $2 a day. No doctor's visits, no complicated forms. It's all online. Don't let the unexpected leave your family without the financial security they need. Get your free quote at tryethos.com. That's tryethos.com. Tom in New Jersey, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tom?
Couple of questions for you.
Yeah.
One, when you talk to your friend, the commissioner, ask them why they don't use an alarm clock for the snap of the ball, so the man watching the snap doesn't have to look at the clock and look at the ball. They mentioned it again on the Lions game, and I grew up in Detroit. I'm a Pershing High School fan. My brother's a Michigan alum. And they can miss the snap of the ball, a foul, a play ends in a score,
yes,
and they win the game or they win the championship.
Yes.
There are going to be a lot of upset people. Why not have an alarm clock, a buzzer that goes off?
I got it.
When it's time for the snap and the man's just focusing only on the ball, then he doesn't miss it and calls the foul.
What's the second thing?
Why don't they do that?
Well, I'll take your second question first before I answer everything.
Okay, second question is, your friend Kurt Warner, I'm a fellow Iwegian. I was born in Sioux City.
Yes.
Ask him what the most rewarding pass he ever made was, and he better say the first time he asked his stunningly beautiful wife for a date.
Nicely done.
The most important pass he ever made.
I like it, Tom. I think he would agree
also,
with that.
When you run your 40, use shoes with a good grip and run on your toes. The fastest cat in the jungle is the cheetahs with the smallest feet. I have sons that ran 4.3 40s when they were in high school. Get up on your toes,
okay,
and you can push off and get better. Don't run flat-footed. Don't run with slick shoes.
This is, by the way, this is a lot of one-stop shopping
like
here,
this.
Tom. Like you're giving me advice. You're giving me questions to ask my friends, the commissioner and Kurt Warner. I've got a question for you before I let you go, Tom. You're the first Tom I've ever spoken to from New Jersey. Is it your river?
I grew up in Detroit. From Detroit, but I moved here 40 years ago.
Okay, so Tom's River, New Jersey, the river doesn't belong to you.
There's Tom's River, yeah.
Okay, very good. Okay, thank you, Tom. You know, again.
I got it.
Thank you.
A lot of dad jokes today out of you.
What do you mean?
Yeah, that's like the third one you're just kind of swinging and missing on.
Then, by the way, I think I connected, and I think it left the yard.
I mean, I laugh each time.
It was right over Tom's head.
Tom's River, New Jersey.
Yeah.
All right. That is a pet peeve of a lot of people, is that as Mike Tirico explained, when the clock hits zero,
we can see it, and the ball hasn't been snapped yet.
Ref will then take a look up. So it's another beat. It's really like the play clock is really 1 second longer, and it's sometimes a long second, or it's a short second. It's never really the same second. Personally, I think what it should be is like the NBA, where the lights go up around the clock.
You can see it peripherally.
And you could see it. Has the ball been snapped and the lights are on? It's the same thing. Is the ball still in the shooter's hand? That's the way it should be. I don't know why they don't do it the other way. But does he want the official to be literally electrically shocked?
Or maybe like in his earpiece, kind of like, you know, like call waiting or something.
You know what I'm saying? I've got my team that nobody's talking about enough. It's the Rams.
That's not surprising. You've been on the Rams.
Well, I pegged the Rams to win the division when it was a three-team toss-up, if not maybe four, if you thought the Niners could put something together.
They've just been too Jekyll and Hyde for me this year.
Well, the Jekyll and Hyde has been the way that they finished up, but they were in most wins that it's unbelievable. You know, they beat New Orleans, and then they beat the Bills to win their second game in a row in a 44-42 game reminiscent of their win back in the Coliseum on a Monday night against the Chiefs when Jared Goff was the one doing it. They went 44-42, and then they win their next three games after Stafford lights up the Bills. They win their next three games. Stafford had never won back-to-back games in his career when throwing less than 200 yards, and then he did it three games in a row.
Yeah.
So the defense showed up. And then you just have to toss that last one out the window. Jimmy G quarterbacking and on all of their top, you know, offensive players, with all due respect to those who played, sitting. But the Rams have already beaten the Vikings.
Yep.
And their next game could potentially be going to Detroit, which they did in back-to-back games, the wild card and then the season opener. And both of them were really tight affairs. No one's talking about the Rams enough. They're talking more about the Bucs because of the way things finished up for them in that final game, even though that was more of a struggle than what the Rams did over the final few weeks. But Jekyll and Hyde, they were 1-4, and then they got healthy. Now you see what they're doing. We'll talk more about it. We got more real estate on Wednesday's show. That's all coming up. We're back on the Roku channel to finish up. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast. You're also saying the record's going to go down.
I'm saying the record's going down anyway.
The guy.
I don't think you're off on this at all. Like, you're spot on here. I don't think this is an overreaction because we have no idea what we're reacting to. Come react or overreact with us.
Overreaction Monday. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
It's game over.
Over, man.